Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. I hope you're ready for tonight's creepy cryptid tales in the woods. You just never know what's out there. Shout out to my channel members and my patrons, as you guys are simply fantastic. If you have a scary story you would like to submit, email me at zachbabytv@gmail.com. Now, without further ado, let's get spooky. The woods. The woods have always been there behind my house. I always had a weird feeling when I looked at them through my bedroom window. The trees stood like wardens of the forest. It felt foreboding. I didn't go back there much because the gray sky and birch trees struck me as a little spooky when I was young. I had only been allowed to walk on the train tracks beside the woods and would often hear strange noises. Sounds like screaming animals, dogs barking, and even haunting strange moaning. There was something about the foggy, moor-like grounds I didn't like. As I got older, though, I became more curious and ventured into the forest more often. I never felt at ease. There was always the feeling that I was being watched. I was sure it was only my imagination, however. I would soon realize I was very wrong. It was a fairly normal day. The smell of rain hung in the air, and the clouds were the darkest I have seen them in a long time. They were like if someone had painted the sky with a black brush. Fog began to billow along the ground and I could barely see my own shoes, let alone the leaves and dirt there below me. I walked over the wooden plank that was laid out over the river. It was sort of like going into another world. How on one side of the plank lay the city, and on the other side was a mysterious forest. I had a bucket, as I was going to collect maple syrup from one of the trees. The forest was different that day, though. It was silent. Usually, there was the noise of insects, sunbugs, and crickets. You would hear birds chirping in the trees and see deer jumping throughout the brush. This time, there was nothing. No birds, no deer, not even a mosquito. Just dead silence. I brushed it off and moved along, sure it was just my imagination. I moved closer into the woods and clutched my bucket a little closer, hearing nothing but the wind and the leaves made me feel uneasy, I suppose. Further into the walk, despite it being the middle of summer, things started to get cold, very cold, to the point where I could see my breath. This was disturbing and I immediately jumped backwards off of the spot I was stepping on. Looking down, I wished I hadn't. I blew into the fog and stooped down on my knees. And the fog cleared enough for me to see a tombstone, a flat one, that had a pentagram spray-painted on it. I was shocked. What was this doing in the middle of the forest? And why hadn't I noticed it before? I had come along there along that path at least twice, if not more, in the past 2 months, and I guessed that since it was flat, I likely had just passed it a few times and failed to notice. I began to take a few more steps forward, but my mind began to ask questions. Why was it there? Who did it belong to? To my left, I suddenly heard a snap and whipped my head to see what it was. Nothing. I was already nervous, and this wasn't helping. There was no deer, so it wasn't one walking. I saw something out of the corner of my eye on my right-hand side and turned my head that way, but again, there was nothing. Another snap followed, and another, and another. My anxiety began to go crazy. What was that? Who was that? I turned and ran, in what I later would know was the wrong direction. The woods sped past me as I reached the maple tree that housed my syrup that I needed. Looking around, everything suddenly seemed back to normal. The sun wasn't out, but the sounds of the insects had returned. In the distance, I saw a deer jump across a small stream. I breathed a sigh of relief, knowing it had all been just my imagination. That was, until everything went quiet again. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw another shadow, tall and thin, and as I turned around, it disappeared. Turning back the maple syrup, my hands began to shake as the temperature around me notably dropped once more. Another snap made me turn my head, and I found myself face to face with the nightmare. A pale, dead, gaunt face looked back at me, with sunken in holes for eyes, and a thin-limbed body that was at least 7 feet tall. The face was tall and had slits for a nose, with creepy wrinkles all around it. The skin was cracked, rotting and dry, and there was no hair. I screamed and stepped back, but I tripped over my own feet. The thing advanced towards me, and with one step was at the base of my feet, its arms nearly dragged along the ground. I looked up at the dead face and screamed as loud as I could. "Go away! Go away!" I shut my eyes, willing for it to be over, and then opened them to nothing. I was so afraid I began to cry, but I didn't stay there for 1 second. I left the bucket and ran out of there faster than I have ever done before. That night, I couldn't sleep. I kept seeing the face of the thing every time I closed my eyes. I will never forget that face. It had a mouth that was too big, and the holes where eyes should have been. The slit of the nose ran between the two. I got out of bed and began to research North Bay. It had a lot of history for a small, quiet Ontarian city. Around the early 2000s, there had been an urban legend about a creature called the Stick Man. The name was stupid, and I laughed out loud about it. Who in their right mind thought that a cute name like that would fit something so sinister? However, thinking back to what I saw, it wasn't far off. The legend went that a woman had been walking home from the mall one day along a secluded path when she was jumped and murdered by an unknown man. The man retreated after the murder into the forest that I had been in, and the police never knew who he was and never found him. He had also been blamed for 8 more murders, ranging from men and women to even children under the age of 12, but over the age of 7. I considered never going back into the forest, but was too curious to never return. Going back to my bedroom, I realized it was past midnight, around 12:40 a.m. I pulled the curtains back and looked out the window, but couldn't see anything. I grabbed a flashlight off of my bookshelf and stoned it through the window into the darkness, and saw my worst nightmare. The Stick Man was standing in my backyard. It didn't notice me or the light, but instead was poking around at the ground, moving its arms like it was burying something, or someone. I watched in stunned horror until it stood up and walked away, still failing to notice me. Then it happened. I sneezed. I watched that face turn around and look me dead in the eyes. I ducked under the window. I heard it outside. A deep thumping type of noise that was its footsteps slowly coming up to my window. I reached up beside the window and flicked on an outside light to try to scare the creature away. Its shadow appeared on my wall and I watched its head look directly downwards towards where I was. My breathing became shallow and ragged, and I watched in terror as the hand reached down towards me. The shadow getting closer and closer to the bottom of the window. I closed my eyes, ready to scream, but when I opened them seconds later, the shadow was gone. I sat there for like an hour to make sure that it was gone. When I got up to take a look, the ground where it was digging in was undisturbed, but I wondered why it was touching the ground like that. What had it been doing? The next morning, I called my friend over and told him we were going on a hike. I also told him to bring his BB gun just for fun. I was afraid if I had said, "There's a monster in the woods," he would never have believed me. Around 12 in the afternoon, we headed back into the woods, and it was similar to how the mood was the previous day. Quiet and strange, with no birds or animals. Fog had started to roll in, and seeing more than 30 feet in front of me became difficult. The trees creaked in the wind, and the leaves seemed to whisper with a voice of their own. I was glad my friend was there. The trees were starting to close in on my consciousness, and I didn't want to see that thing again. This time, though, I had a plan. I didn't want to see it again, and I figured this might help with that. I had brought some spray paint and a rag, hoping to wipe the pentagram off of the tombstone that I had seen. I had read that pentagrams are gateways to the spirit world, where evil spirits could come through. We finally reached the location of the stone. When my friend grabbed the back of my shirt and gasped, "What is it?" I asked. I thought I saw something," he said, losing his grip. "It was nothing, sorry." I looked him right in the eyes. "Saw what?" I asked. "Saw what?" "A tall black figure," he said. "It's just the fog." I looked around, but didn't see anything. I grabbed the spray paint and rag out of my backpack and started to scrub the grave, which was unmarked. My friend was startled and asked, "What are you doing? You can't just touch some grave out in the woods." "I'm closing the gate," was all I said. I didn't want to be out here any longer. I took the rag and threw it to the ground. The pentagram was gone now. Instead, I spray-painted a cross over the gravestone and stood up. As I stuffed my stuff back into my backpack, a twig snapped, and out of the corner of my eye, a figure could be seen. The air was suddenly chillingly cold again. The birch trees seemed to lean in, eyes watching me. The wind died completely, and the fog crept closer. I fell backwards and screamed. My friend began to ask what was the matter, only to stop mid-sentence. "Why is it so cold?" he asked, turning around away from me, then dropped the BB gun and stared. I followed his gaze to see the stick man standing 10 feet away, hollowed eyes stared at me in the gravestone. My friend whipped his phone out and screamed, "I'm calling the police!" He ran about 6 feet away, unable to take his eyes off of the creature, and began to talk in a constant stream of a sentence. I, on the other hand, just sat there staring until the stick man took a step in my direction. I turned and picked up the BB gun my friend dropped, and I shot the stick man twice. I missed the first time, but the second time the pellet went right through the stick man. I threw the gun at it, missing, as it stepped towards me again. "Get away from me!" I screamed. The stick man looked at me and reached one long arm in the direction of the gravestone. I didn't get it at the time, but continued to yell, "Get away!" My friend jumped towards it with a long stick and tried to whip at it. The stick man turned away from me and looked at my friend. This resulted in my friend fainting on the spot. Suddenly, police sirens could be heard in the distance. The creature turns towards me, and when I blinked, it was gone once again. Standing up, I took in what had happened while the voices of the police came closer and closer. They reached us within 2 minutes. Luckily, a car had been patrolling by, so it didn't take them long to get to us, and started to ask us what was happening. My friend woke up and began babbling. He had been more scared than I was. We told them what we saw, but as I predicted, they didn't believe us. They claimed that we were only 16 and that made us inexperienced. We had likely just mistaken a bear or a homeless man as a monster. As we began to leave, accompanied by the cops, the forest seemed to turn back to normal. Gone was the eerie wind, replaced by the sounds of birds. One of the policemen scouting ahead tripped. The other helped him up, and I looked at to where he had fallen. In the ground, half buried, stuck a bone. I pointed it out, and one of the female officers pulled it out of the ground. More bones came with it. We began to dig, eventually uncovering a human skull. The police quickly took us away from the area and roped it off. 3 weeks had passed since we found the bones. An excavation had gone on, and the bones of 7 more people were discovered. They stretched out of the forest into the road and into my backyard, in the very spot that Stickman had been digging. I was unnerved, to say the least. That week, one of my friends came by my house. She claimed her father had taken a trail cam into the woods to hunt for deer and caught something on it that was disturbing. The camera was put up the same day I first saw the stick man, but after I left the forest. Showing me the picture, I saw nothing at first. The picture was by my maple tree, the one I collected syrup from, and my bucket was on the ground in front of it. However, when I looked beside the tree, something was off. Behind the tree, with just the head and shoulders sticking out, stood the stick man, with its eyeless face staring right at the camera, right at me. A horrifying, twisted smile on the mouth was too big for the face. I never believed in the supernatural before this, but now, I'm not too sure. I used to love walking through the forest. It used to have such a calming effect on me, like nature and I were one. A few years ago, though, I saw something that changed my life. I was walking through the forest at night, trying to take my mind off of my problems. So far, it had been working. I was breathing in fresh air and listening to the leaves rustle. I was finally calm. Until I saw it. A creature with circular, bulging eyes standing amongst the trees. It almost looked like a child, but something about it was off. It was about 6 feet tall and had freakishly long limbs. There was pieces of what seemed like black wires sticking out of its head. It suddenly turned to face me, its eyes widened. It began chanting in a language unlike I had ever heard. Listening to it hurt my ears and made my head throb. I immediately ran away. It began to chase me. I ran for what seemed like miles and miles. My legs hurt, but I couldn't stop. Not with this thing after me. Suddenly, I tripped. I tried desperately to get back up, but no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't. The creature drew closer as I accepted my fate. I woke up lying in my bed. I took a few deep breaths, composing myself. It was all a dream. I had nothing to worry about. I so wanted to believe that, but it had all felt so real. I calmed myself down. A lot of people had vivid dreams, right? I didn't get any sleep that night. After that incident, I didn't go into the forest for months. Last year, I decided to go back. I had missed those walks, and it seemed foolish to stop just because of a nightmare, no matter how vivid it had been. When I saw the creature again, I immediately regretted that decision. This time, I wasn't fast enough to run away. It grabbed me by the ankle and dragged me for God knows how long. I struggled, but to no avail. Its grip on me was too strong. It finally arrived somewhere. That place was indescribable. There was no solid ground, just a mess of colors and shapes, yet somehow I could still lie down. There was another creature there. It looked like just like the one that I had encountered in the forest, except this one had light coming out of its head. Both the creatures grinned as if pleased. They joined hands and formed a circle around me. I tried to move, but I was paralyzed. Cold sweat was running down my back. They began chanting, almost musically, in the same language I had heard in the forest. They began circling me. I laid there, frozen. My vision began to blur. Was I finally dying? Anything seemed better than to have to look and listen to those things. My head began throbbing. I couldn't keep my eyes open. I slipped away, their chant still echoing in my mind. I woke up lying in bed next to my girlfriend. Had this been a dream too? It couldn't have been, as it felt so vivid, so real. My girlfriend opened her eyes and rolled over to look at me. She gasped, covered her mouth with her hand. How? She whispered. Honey, are you okay? I asked, confused. She ignored me. How are you here? You've been missing for months. I said nothing. I just stared at her, confused. Months? How long had these things been holding me captive for? God, where have you been? I couldn't tell her the truth. She'd think I was crazy. I don't know. I almost bursted into tears. I was so happy to see her, yet still confused. She didn't seem to care. She wrapped her arms around me. I reciprocated, still terrified. I composed myself. I was finally safe, and I was relieved that the nightmare was over. I never went to the forest again after that day. I was too scared. Lately, the creature's chant has been echoing in my mind. I can't get it out of my head. It's constantly on repeat, and no matter what I do, I can't stop it. I know I can't go back to the forest, but the creatures are calling me. The Creature in the Forest. We wandered deep into the forest, off of the path, straight towards the dense, dark part of the forest. The part where mid-afternoon looks like night because there's so many trees. The pines loomed over me like giant beans, checking my every move. Ethan stood tall, leading the group, his long ginger hair flowing in the wind. This was taking so long. My legs were tired, and my back felt as though a two-tone weight was pressing against on it. Nonetheless, I carried on walking. Ethan in the front, me in the back, and Rise and Tom in the front of me. Where the hell is Venmond? Ugh, guys, hold up. Where's Venmond? I shuddered. Everyone stopped and turned around. Their view spread horizontally across the forest, but none of them could see Venmond. Ethan reached for his walkie-talkie and confidently spoke into it. Hey, Venmond, we seem to have lost you, bro. Where are you? We can't keep going without you. A few seconds passed with no reply. I grew worried. Venmond should have been behind Raya's. Dang, I muttered. Suddenly, a scratchy static hit the walkie-talkie, and Venmond's unmistakable voice boomed through.
Sorry, guys. Had to take a piss and stopped. I know the route. I'll meet you guys at the Wallahassee clearing and we can pitch up camp.
We all signed with relief, and Ethan agreed with Venmond. By the time we reached the clearing, it was beginning to get dark. We were at least a day's walk from civilization now. There was still no sign of Venmond. I'm sure he'll show up soon, I said, reassuring the group as I pulled a joint out from my pocket, lighting it. I smoked the doobie and threw the roach into the newly lit campfire. 3 hours passed, and Venmond didn't show up. Our tents were pitched, and we had spoken down to the walkie, but got no reply. Guys, we need to calm down. He'll be here soon, said Rice, a cigar between his teeth. Another 2 hours passed, and we decided to go to sleep. To be fair, Venmond did grow up in the forests. He'll be okay. I awoke to a yelp. Holy crap, what the heck, man? I heard the usual calm Ethan yell. He had stayed up with the fire. I leaped out of my tent, machete in hand. What stood before me was ungodly. Venmond was stood between two trees, lit by Ethan's torch. He was naked and covered in blood with huge gaping gashes all over him. We tried asking what had happened, but before anything could be answered, Venmond's body morphed into something unexplainable. He grew to 8 feet tall. His body became scarily skinny as his arms dropped still to his ankles. Claws protruded through his fingertips and his face grew to a snout with human teeth. Blood dribbled from his lips and he screeched. This wasn't Venmond. Suddenly, he sprinted towards us, shredding Ethan to bits in less than a second. I stood frozen in fear as I watched the thing pick up Tom's tent and pluck him out like an olive from a pot. Tom let out a blood-curdling scream as this thing ripped him in half. Rise grabbed me and shouted, "Run!" I don't know where we are, but we found shelter and a phone signal. Please, for the love of God, somebody help. We're somewhere in Colorado. I could hear it nearby. Please, help. Well, I hope that you guys enjoyed the creepy, cryptid encounters in the woods stories tonight. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Share me with your friends, and again, like always, spread me like butter.